Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And it isn't always about business, because our lives and our businesses are one. People don't, you know, come to me just because I have a great business. They come to me because I am the leader of my business. I am the guy that, you know, I'm at the front. I'm on the front lines, and I better represent the business properly. So, yes, it is about our business, as a lot of us are entrepreneurs. But at the end of the day, so much of it is also relative to our personal lives, how we interact with our family, our wives and husbands and our children and our parents and friends. So I actually try to make this show as, you know, relative for everyone, because to me, the entrepreneur is the everyone. Everyone would love to work for themselves, I think. At least that's how I think. Everyone would love to achieve their goals. And then there are the people that actually do achieve their goals. And then they get there and they go, oh, crap, this is not what I thought it would be. So they pivot and they move on. And then guess what? Everything they did up to that point helped them to make the decision to do what they really are supposed to be doing, because that's where their heart is. It ain't where they thought it was going to be when they got there. That probably didn't come out right, but it's okay. You get it. Our guest today is Dr. Isaiah Henkel. He is an entrepreneur, best-selling author, acclaimed speaker, Henkel Leadership, and you can find him online at isaiahhenkel.com. He spells it like this, I-S-A-I-A-H, Isaiah, and then Henkel's easy, H-A-N-K-E-L. Can I just call you Doc, or should I, what would you like me to call you, Doctor? Isaiah?
Isaiah is perfect.
Okay. You know, I mean, we're meeting for the first time right now, so we'll just make it cash, okay? So I love perfect. What you're doing. I see, you know, you have a book, Black Hole Focus, How Intelligent People Can Create a Powerful Purpose for Their Lives. Now, I consider myself an intelligent person. I have friends that would beg to differ, and I want a powerful purpose in my life. So that is what I am in search of constantly. And this radio show, and for those who listen to our podcast, which is this show after it's been on the air, this program is to further my search and your search and the person listening's search for, you know, that thing we don't always know what it is, but we'll know it when we get there. We'll know it when we hear it or see it. But it's like my whole life, I'm just listening. I'm the casual observer of everything. I'm listening. I'm watching. I want to learn. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know what? I want to learn. I mean, pride goeth before the fall, right? If you get prideful and you think you know everything, then guess what? Just your life is like a heartbeat. It's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. And when it flatlines, you're dead. So guess what? If you're up right now, it's going to be down. And if you're down right now, it's going to be up. And I think that if we can all keep an open mind and listen to folks like Dr. Isaiah Henkel right now, maybe we can move one step closer to our ultimate goal, which is to achieve happiness or total consciousness or whatever it may be that you're searching for. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about what we'll call here the science behind protecting mental focus, since that's the first thing on my list.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the first section of my new book for a reason. And the book's called The Science of Intelligent Achievement. And a big part of achieving something that's lasting, which is the opposite of fake success, as I call it, is protecting your mental focus. You know, most people, when you ask them, what is your most valuable resource? They'll answer one of three things. They'll say, you know, the old two were time and money, right? They'll say time. Obviously, if I have more time, more hours in the day, I can become more successful. But time is definitely not your most valuable resource, because all of us have, you know, reread a book, or we have watched a rerun on TV, or watched the same movie over again, or have just been so exhausted at the end of the day that we just sat there and stared at the wall, right? If this has happened to you, time is not your most valuable resource. Money, same thing. If you own a watch and an iPhone, or have ever wasted money on a purchase on something you didn't need, you know, money is not your most valuable resource. Then finally, kind of the the newer one we hear a lot is your relationships. Your network is your net worth. And while your relationships are important, all of us have wanted to give more to relationships or build new connections in some way at some time, but we're too exhausted or spread too thin or had too many obligations to do so. So what your most valuable resource actually is your mental energy. We don't think about that a lot. I heard it put really well one way when comparing it to time. You shouldn't ask yourself, how can I get more hours in the day? You should say, how can I get so much more energy, mental energy, that I can accomplish in 1 minute what it takes somebody else 1 hour to do?
I agree.
So that's really what mental energy is.
Hold on 1 second now. I heard you have a new book coming out. Did you say the name is The Science of Intelligent Achievement?
Exactly, The Science of Intelligent Achievement.
Okay. I just wrote that down. I didn't even know about that. I thought we were going to talk about the other books you wrote. We got a new one. I am very happy. Okay. Hold tight. Wow. This is very cool. Again, Dr. Isaiah Hankel. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Our guest today is Dr. Isaiah Hankel, and you can find his website, isaiahhankel.com. I just found out he's got another new book coming out January 3rd, everybody. The book is called The Science of Intelligent Achievement, January 3rd. You can find that at his website, isaiahhankel.com. We talked during the break for just a moment, and I asked him a simple question. You know, what is one thing that you think would be interesting for folks? And he says, the reason why people need to go on a relationship fast. And I went, whoa, yeah, okay. Give us a little on that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's one of the things that we don't think about, but we always think about. If you ask somebody, you know, what's holding you back? Very often they'll say, well, I need, again, more money. I need more time. But really what you need is you need to protect your mental energy more. You need to protect your focus more. And in today's world, man, we are just completely distracted. Lots of things going on, and people, you know, they hear about maybe taking an unplugged vacation. They hear about doing this and that. But what they rarely think about is the people that they've surrounded themselves with. Most of us will guard our money. We'll put it in the banks. You know, we'll even start getting very serious about our health at certain times. We'll go on diets. We'll go on, like, a food fast, et cetera. But very rarely do we get deliberate with who we let into our life. Very rarely do we do a relationship or friendship audit. And why this is important, and the book talks about this, is that there was a large-scale study that showed, well, two studies that I'll mention very briefly. One showed that if you allow a negative person into your life, negative people, negativity in general, very, very bad for you biologically. Just listening to a person complain for 30 minutes or listening to negativity for 30 minutes, it pills away neurons in your hippocampus, which is the part of your brain that's responsible for problem solving. And, you know, there's been follow-up studies on this where one group of people engaged with a negative person for 4 minutes and then took a performance test, and another group of people ignored a negative person for 4 minutes and then took a performance test. Those who were around the negativity but ignored it performed significantly better than those that were around the negativity and engaged in it. So what does this mean? It means the people around you significantly affect your performance.
Okay.
So a great way to step back and see who's in your life is to take a relationship fast.
I love it. I love it. I'll tell you why. I have had many negative people in my life. And I think, you know, entrepreneurs, business people, human beings, we all have this, right? It doesn't matter who you are. Even animals have negative people. But the point is, I tend to shut down. I literally... emotionally, my energy level goes down. It's like somebody took the ignition key to my soul and just turned it off, and I just shut down. And then I hear this, what's wrong? And I look at them and I go, nothing. And the reason why it's nothing is because I have stopped reacting. I have stopped thinking. I have stopped, you know, like you said, I start ignoring. And to the other person, it must feel like total shutdown. And I agree. It is because I am preserving my energy. I don't want to give away my energy to that, what I'll call psychic vampire. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Exactly. And it's funny that you use the word vampire. Why do you use the word vampire? Because they suck your energy, like you just said. They drain your energy, your mental energy, which is exactly what we're talking about. Nothing else will drain your mental energy like a negative person or the wrong person, a manipulative person, you know, whatever it is, a drama king or drama queen in your life. Mm. And so it may not seem scientific, but it actually is. Our brains are riddled with neurons that force us to copy others, no matter how hard we try, and force us to do it subconsciously. They're called mirror neurons.
Right.
That's why if you're sitting in a large meeting with people, you'll see two or three people in a row all of a sudden start to sit like each other.
Yep.
Or you see somebody yawn, you feel the urge to yawn. Right.
Hang tight. This is very interesting to me personally. I'm going to make it more personal on the other side because I just took a relationship fast with my wife of 31 years, been together 36. We'll talk about that on the other side. I don't mind sharing because to me, that's what this is. This is really, at the end of the day, tribal knowledge, and we need to share with each other. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Okay, it's gonna get personal. And what I'm about to say may disturb a few people, including people that work for me, my friends, my wife, my kids. But you know what? I think it says somewhere, be true to thyself. And if you don't have the ability to be true with yourself, then I don't think you'll ever really be able to change. And that goes for us being entrepreneurs, human beings, friends, family, whatever it may be. Guest today, Dr. Isaiah Hankel, Hankel Leadership. He has a new book, The Science of Intelligent Achievement. It's coming out January 3rd. So, all right, I'm going to ask you to help me, let's discuss something that's very personal to me. I have been married 31 years, going on 32. I have four children, and I have two that are married, one that is going to have a baby in April, so I'll be a grandfather. And I have a very lovely wife. To me, I think I feel like I married an angel. She's just a delightful human being. But because of the upbringing that I had, and I think because I'm a man, I noticed your website actually had something on that. What did it say about live like a lion, not a sheep, on your website? Did I see that?
Yeah, it's live like a lion is the crux of it. It basically just means, you know, it's better to live a robust life now, even if it's a shorter life, than it would be to live like a follower or like a sheep for years and years and years.
Okay. And that totally agrees with the life that I lived. I came from a family where the man is the king of the castle. And I still pretty much believe that. I think that there's a certain proper order in life, and the father, the man, the husband should be the leader of the family and, you know, has a certain responsibility. Now, personally, I had the opportunity to allow my wife to be a stay-at-home mom to bring up our children. Not that she didn't work, because I feel like her work was much harder than my work, because I loved my work. She was doing the hard work. I was out doing what I was passionate about. But I got to a point in my life where, you know, I think this is a mistake that many men make, is that I owned my family. I owned my wife. And I am the man of the family. I am the king of the castle. But I took it perhaps too far. So to your relationship fast, we took a little relationship fast. And I got to tell you, what an eye-opening experience that was to be able to look at my wife again as if she was a individual person and not my wife, mine. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
You know, to be honest, I didn't know where you were going with that. And at the end, I love what you said about, seeing people as individuals. And that's really what it's about. I think it's very easy for us to get bogged down with obligation and expectations and these weird rules that we create for ourselves,
right,
where we think that we're all just like one amoeba. We all owe each other things. We're all part of the same whatever. I completely disagree with that. I think people are best when they're individuals.
Yeah.
And when they're interdependent, if you will, not to use a, you know, a kind of a new agey word, but, you know, by stepping away, you can figure out who you are. So, and I always bring it back to science, right? That's just who I am. And there's a great study in the book that had, again, two groups of people. One group was asked to write down their goals, their personal goals, on their own in a solitary environment. Another group was asked to write down their goals in a room with other people who were writing down their goals after seeing the goals that other people wrote down. The people who saw other people write down their goals, there's a 50% increase, which is a massive increase in science, in terms of writing down goals that were the same as the people next to them. So they wrote down completely different goals. And they did this with the same people at different times as well. They didn't know they were doing the same study. What does that mean? It means, you know, if you're living with a bunch of people who are, you know, whiny and negative, you're going to become whiny and negative. If you're living with a bunch of people where they're, you know, the pinnacle of their life is to have a 9-to-5 job with a 401k and, you know, the house with 2.5 baths, and that's it, that's the end point for them, that's going to be your end point if you're not careful.
Right.
And so the only way to figure out who you are and what you really want is to step back and get away from the influence of other people and figure out what you want. But I love what you added too by saying it's not just about figuring out who you are, giving other people space to figure out who they are as well and seeing them as individuals too.
All right. So I'm glad we're tracking, because I also had to do that with my children. I have three boys and one girl. As my boys became men, I had to realize they aren't mine. They aren't my children. They are adults. They are individuals. And I have to allow them to be individuals, to make mistakes, to try to be a better father, a better mentor to these boys. And, you know, I have a 21-year-old son he's a wonderful young man, and he was frustrated. I heard him talking to my wife the other day, and I came in and I could see that he was frustrated. And so I came into the room and I could see that it was me that he was frustrated. I thought, I haven't done anything, but I realized that I had done something, that I had not released him to himself yet and say, you know what? I trust you. You're an honest, hardworking, good guy. You know, you can do this. I am here to help you do this. I'm not here to lead you through life by the ring in your nose. And I had to really take a look at myself and realize that I had become, you know, kind of a dictator or a tater dick, if you want to say it like that. You know, I mean, just not a good guy. You know what I mean? So that's why your book and your whole premise is very interesting to me. And I stuck right on that relationship fast. What a powerful, powerful thing that is. We'll take a little break, come back with some more of Dr. Isaiah Hankel and the outpouring of honesty from me, your host, who ain't with the most. But you know what? I'm on my way, just like you. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor, and this is Entrepreneur Weekly, part of Entrepreneur Magazine and Media. Check us out at entrepreneur.com. I hope you guys are okay with me being just a regular human being like everybody else. A lot of people put these hosts on a pedestal when we all have to go through the same kind of crap with this crazy thing called love that we don't always know the answers. So, you know, I'm on my journey, and you guys are going with me, and Dr. Isaiah Hankel right now is helping me to have a little better understanding. I love that you put a name to what I have been and am really right in the middle of doing, called a relationship fast, and it's just absolutely brilliant. I think that it's and by the way, fasting is healthy for the body, but relationship fasting is healthy for the relationship, and I've never heard of that before, just so you know, Doc. Never heard of that. So now, how do we put these skills and into a laser-like focus so that we can have purpose-filled lives and have better personal growth momentum and long-term satisfaction out of what you teach and what we're all learning as we, you know, are on this journey that we're on. But this new thing called a relationship fast, I'm going to try and market that, brother. If I could bottle it, I would bottle it.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
So, you know, that's just the first step. And you already talked about the second steps. The first step is selective focus. The second step is what I call is creative ownership. And that's what it's called in the book, too. But in simpler terms, it's personal responsibility, right? So you go in a relationship fast, but you also take responsibility for yourself. You take this kind of creative ownership, some say extreme ownership, over yourself. The fact that, like you said, okay, maybe I became more of a dictator here. Or I was looking at things in the wrong way. That's my fault. And I'm going to take responsibility for it. No matter what happens to me in my life, I take responsibility. And I'm also going to strive to be, as you said, individual, independent.
Yeah.
I think a big problem that a lot of people have is that they become dependent on, you know, their boss for all of their career success. It's dependent on one person. They become dependent on their happiness just from how much affection or love or connection they get from, like, one other person. That is not being an individual. That's not being dependent. That's not being responsible for yourself. The second piece is really about that personal responsibility. And the final piece is, okay, taking personal responsibility, figuring out what you want, and then producing, performing, getting what you want. And in the book, it's called pragmatic growth. Pragmatic means, you know, be willing to get in the trenches. A lot of people now, in today's world with the internet and, you know, everything can seem like, oh, well, there's a 17-year-old kid, they're becoming billionaires. And so a lot of us can have kind of more of a pie-in-the-sky mentality. Very few people can stay rooted, you know, in the ground and be willing to work and be willing to start and be willing to fail over and over and over again to get ahead. So that's the pragmatic part. And so, again, I think those are the two follow-up steps after taking that relationship fast.
Well, and I'll tell you what, since I'm right in the middle of it, and it's so interesting that we meet as I'm in the middle of what you call the relationship fast. And listen, you go 31 years married to a person that you love with everything that you are, and one day you go, you know what? It ain't the way it's supposed to be. When we talked about the goals, you know, I'm just not happy. She's not happy. Is it something I'm doing? Is it something we're both doing? But we're both learning so much. But let me tell you, there's a lot of painful things that are going to bubble up. A lot of things you're going to realize about yourself, or you're going to try and bury them and go into denial. And so being honest in that time and learning how to say, I'm sorry, and you know, whew, man, that's a biggie. But then you have a chance for things to start to grow again. And what I'm doing now is I'm seeing my wife with a whole new set of eyes as an individual, a person that I love and respect because of her individuality, not just because she's mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, responding to feedback and be willing to adjust course along the way.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's never a direct path to becoming that person that you want to become, or, you know, realizing who you are. There's going to be ups and downs. And as long as you're willing to continue to tweak your way to success towards intelligent achievement, as I call, you're going to be successful. Because what's on the other end of that? It's just fake success. You know, if you hadn't taken this fast, if you hadn't pushed yourself to, you know, take responsibility for what you were doing wrong, then you just keep going forward blindly, and then all of a sudden you're going to have, you know, whatever you want to call it, an identity crisis. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to get stuck, and you're going to crash and burn, long story short. So being willing to respond to feedback and not just bury your head in the sand is absolutely crucial to that true achievement, not just fake success.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, that, you know, this taking personal responsibility is such the key. And if you're listening to this going, and if your relationship arguments have been escalating and you tend to find yourself caring less and less about that person that you know in your heart of hearts you love and care about deeply, it's because you need a relationship fast. You've been overindulging and never, you know, giving that other person a chance to really, truly tell you what they think about you or your actions, because you're just, oh, shut up, or walk out of the room, or leave them in the next, you know, in another hotel room, whatever you end up doing, just trying to get away from that person. Oh, guess what? You love you, and you're not taking personal responsibility. Then you know you are due for a relationship fast. I hope that your new book, The Science of Intelligent Achievement, has a chapter on this or something coming out January 3rd, everybody. Is there a chapter on relationship fasting?
Yeah. An entire chapter. Yeah, it's in the first section.
Dude, I'm going to...
That's the title of it.
When it comes out...
It's copywritten, so you can't take it. I'm sorry.
I'm going to steal it. Oh, well, you know what? This is really good. The new book, again, called The Science of Intelligent Achievement, coming out January 3rd. Dr. Isaiah Hankel. Any final thoughts on all of this before we say goodbye?
Just remember that, you know, your life comes down to your most valuable asset, which is your mental energy. Are you protecting it? Do you even know when your peak mental energy levels are? If not, maybe it's time to find out.
Boy, I'm stuck on the relationship fast. It's just, I got to go out of the studio and go tell everybody. I got a name for what I'm going through. We'll take a break. Thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to talk, Alan.
Dr. Isaiah Hankel, isaiahankel.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
That is some heavy stuff right there. Relationship fasting. Who would have ever thought that? It's like right in the middle of my relationship fast, the guy puts a name on it. I love it. I love it. I mean, listen, you gotta do extreme things in this life. I mean, if you just sit there in your lot of life, you're just gonna end up sitting there. So, yes, I believe that you must, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I hope that you folks out there that are listening feel like that you've been given this consciousness. Now you got to do something with it. Otherwise, just go back to sleep and it doesn't matter. Steve Fielding is joining us right now. He's a friend of mine, chief content strategist at Ryan Tech, an award-winning Microsoft partner, and they're in the cloud services arena. What do you think about that? I mean, I know I made it very personal there, but listen, I live my life in a glass box. Everybody, you know, it's like, I think this medium, people can see right through it. They hear your soul. They can see you smiling even though they can't see your face in the way you communicate. They can see you frowning through the radio. I think that it's important for a host to be out there, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you may pick up a particular tone in my voice or, you know, an energy level, but I attribute that to just being British. It's kind of a cultural thing, and we're kind of subdued in that way. But, you know, people, when they get to know me and I kind of ease up and become more energetic and very sort of happy-go-lucky, laugh, have a good laugh, and really appreciate sort of good humor in terms of work and relationship. And the concept of kind of relationship fast, in the arc of my own, you know, relationship with Michelle, my wife, it's, you know, when we were courting, I used to want to take breaks. If you have to sort of take time for yourself, and then when you get distance between you and your loved ones, and it's harder now as a father of two boys to even want to put distance between me and them because I'm just so in love with them. Every once in a while, it's great to sort of take a break, take a breather, almost get some distance, some perspective, to be able to see the forest from the trees. And then you kind of come back with insights and gets yourself re-energized, and you come back with more. And I think I talked to you and you saw the pictures from the ride that I put together with a bunch of lads, of friends of mine, just back in September. And we got on our Harleys and rode out from Seattle out to Glacier National Park in Montana and came back. We were out there for 6 days and we had a brilliant time. And it was about brotherhood and camaraderie. But we were thinking, you know, when you have yourself to think with on those, you know, in between the conversations around dinner time, you're on the bike and you're putting hours and miles underneath the wheels, and it's a great time to reflect.
Yeah. It's interesting. I had a motorcycle many, 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 many years ago. And I remember, I mean, this is back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I remember riding the motorcycle thinking to myself, man, you are all alone. You're alone with your thoughts. You're alone with yourself. Your life is in your hands, so you better stay aware. And that's really an interesting metaphor for life itself, right?
Right.
You better stay aware. And what happens is, I think, in life, we get caught in this rut, the groove of life. We just go where the groove goes because it's easy. But the reality is, man, I want to turn out of that groove and I want to carve my own path. And if you don't wake up, then you're destined to just stay in that groove your whole life. And I think taking these, what he called a relationship fast, whether it be from your wife, in my case, from your business, from life itself, just to take what my friend from Australia talks about, a walkabout. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think, the premise of that.
Absolutely. Back when I had more time to myself, I would, you know, I'd love doing photography in the grand landscapes. So one of my photography heroes is Galen Rau or Ansel Adams. And I wanted to go to some of those places and see what I created in experiencing those environments. And one of the more memorable trips was, you know, I got on, packed up my car and went out on the road for 10 days and went to Death Valley and Joshua Tree and just, you know, set up my tent near Death Valley and then had done some scouting. And at 3 a.m. in the morning, I had to roll out of bed, had a nice warm sleeping bag, get in the car, get to the point, hike 2 miles into the spot before sunrise so you can get the dune shot. You know, Penniment Dunes is just a beautiful place, and it was pretty amazing to sort of have that reveal itself in the new, you know, fresh light of a new day. And, you know, it was kind of a walkabout in a mini version. But I totally agree with that.
It's interesting. I have gone many years of driving millions of miles, if you know. Mm-hmm. Part of my job in life for the last quarter century has been testing cars, everybody. Whether you know it or not, I've worked with Motor Trend and Car and Driver magazine as a car tester. And so I would drive about 1,000 miles each way to do my radio show. Not this one, but the other one that I still do to this day. It's called The Drive with Alan Taylor. And it was called Motor Trend Radio. It was called Car and Driver Radio. And today I'm kind of on my own because I'm on 100 radio stations. People want to hear, you know, people talking about cars and on the weekend. And so I've been doing that forever. Mm-hmm. But I would drive 1,000 miles, just get in the car by myself. People are like, how do you do that? I'm like, well, first of all, I like to learn about the car and I just want to jump in it and see how intuitive it is. But the other part of it was this Zen place that I would get driving down the road. The intellectual side of my mind was busy driving the car, being aware and alert and making sure I don't crash and kill myself. There was this other side of me that could have these deep thoughts. For me, it was like a meditative time. And I would do my radio show and then turn around and drive back. Not obviously in a, you know, I would spend the night somewhere.
Right.
But I did that for 20 years. I figured at one point that I had driven to the moon and back 4 times. But for me, it was driving. And even if I got into an argument with my wife or my business, whatever it was, I would go for a drive. And then I could, you know, find myself, turn around and come back and go, all right, I get it now. I don't know what it was, but I was caught up. I was in the groove of anger, in the groove of pressure, angst, business, the banks, whoever's calling. Sometimes you got to just take a relationship break. He called it a relationship fast. By the way, his website again is isaiahhankel.com. I got to read this guy's book. We're going to find out about Ryan Tech when we come back. Do you need an app? Do you need some cloud services? Ryan Tech. I'm Alan Taylor. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Sitting right next to me is Steve Fielding, Chief Content Strategist, Ryan Tech. Award-winning Microsoft partner in the cloud services arena. And Steve is here because they're working on an app for me, for Alan Taylor. Because, you know what, I mean, you can get the $99 a year app, or you can get one that is really, really good. And that's what Ryan Tech is really good at. Mm. Apps, man. I mean, when I kind of started looking into it originally, to build an app was like really expensive. Man, the prices come way down and you could do so much more with it. Maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, Ryan Tech and apps and cloud services. We got 5 minutes to do what the hell we want here for
it. Okay, awesome. Yeah. I love it. So just to tie up a little bit of the last segment, the point that sort of occurred to me was that, you know, as entrepreneurs, it's really important not to get absorbed totally in the grind, you know, to have that, you know, whether you take a break and go to an art museum or you go down to your local pub for a coffee, you know, a beer or whatever, then, you know, read a book, just get something different going through your mind, again, sort of keeps things fresh and engaged.
So important. And, yeah. And sadly, I mean, most of the time on these business type shows, this stuff gets pushed under the rug because it's like it's very personal.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's so important anyway. Yeah. So, Riotech,
so
brother.
Apps. Yeah. So apps, yeah. I mean, we've seen, you know, the marketplace changing. You know, everyone was running a website, which is a static website. You got to go to the, you know, open up your device, go to a browser, click the link that, you know, you bookmark, and then you get into the content around a brand. But so now everyone's, you know, got their smartphone in their hand, and to be able just to push the button and engage with a brand through an app, that's really where sort of the rubber meets the road. And we love sort of shattering the concept that an app is super expensive or complicated to develop, because there are these rapid development environments based on Azure, which is the Microsoft public cloud service, that you can quickly put together a pretty robust app, just like we're doing for you, just like we're doing for a charity ride that's coming up in January with ERA 3, another local grants bus organization, which we love to benefit veterans. So it's a really important tool to have in your kit these days, whether you're a personal brand like an Allen Taylor or an organization, so you can sort of build out that sort of multifaceted sort of crystal to look through into what the company is about or what the organization's about.
It's so interesting how fast business is evolving, and yet you can take a 50-year-old company, and it took 50 years to get to where it is, and then every year or every maybe 2 years, you have these gigantic upheavals in amazing technology that changes the world and your life. And, you know, then you have those companies that are 50 years old, and the founders and the people that are still there from the beginning, no, I don't have to slow down. Mm-hmm. Well, if you slow down right now with what's going on and you aren't really kind of embracing what is happening in our technology world, you will be left behind, and you will suffer greatly for it, I think.
Yeah, going at business alone is kind of an old way of thinking.
Yeah.
And you really need to find the right partners to get together with, and who people who buy into your vision, who are knowledgeable about their areas of expertise. And that's where we come in and bring 17 years of technology experience, numerous awards and certifications through Microsoft's programs, etc. And we're a team of 16 people, but we're serving thousands and thousands of customers. So big, quote unquote, in terms of a company, it means something different. You can have a 3 or 4 person team who's consuming massive amounts or creating massive amounts of data. Let's say, you know, a company like Twitch, where people are watching other people playing games online. That's a massive amount of video content. And that means that they're using a lot of compute power to make sure that's going smoothly.
Horsepower, so, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Computing horsepower.
So technology and what big means in today's industry is really different than it used to mean.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for helping me out and introducing me and my company. That I'm kind of that stubborn founder, although I love technology. I mean, I met you. You were at Microsoft, and we did some things together for a couple of years, and you are now at the number one partner of Microsoft, which is Riotech company. So you guys, if you need an app, if you need cloud services, check out Riotech, Riantech, Riotech.com.
Riotech.com.
Thank you for correcting me right on national radio. Now you embarrass me. Time for me to say goodbye to you. You embarrass me on my own show. What am I? How can I overcome that? Steve. Steve Fielding, everybody. Riotech.com. Yeah, you leap. See? You got to know how to do tech. Otherwise, you'll never get there. All right. That's about it for me. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You guys try that relationship fast. Whew. Tell you, I've lost 10 pounds. That's nothing to do with food. See you next week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.